This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
Yo, you are in the right place at the right time, listening to the right thing. Tech Webcast. Congratulations on choosing such an awesome thing to listen to. You are clearly very smart. You're into tech stuff. You love hearing Brad and Jason and their guests chat. And you're probably really good looking too. Well done. So let's get into it. The weekly tech extravaganza that is Tech Webcast. In 3, 2, 1. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 204 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 1st of September 2012. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7. In today's news on the show, mobile and internet prices demystified, Twitter allows advertisers to target users, and Barack Obama joins Reddit for a day. Today's hosts, Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jason. Good afternoon, Brad.
Hey, Jason, how are you, mate?
How are you doing?
I'm going pretty well, mate. I was about to say Steve. we got a great guest on today.
Yes, our guest, Robert Scoble, in today.
Robert Scoble, yep.
We'll be talking to him.
Got some good questions for him. How's your week been, mate? Any interesting things?
Not too bad. I decided to start teaching myself how to write plugins for the Minecraft CraftBucket server.
Oh, fun.
So I've been starting to do some stuff in Java and having a lot of fun there. I've done my first plugin, which was complicated for me since I'm just starting out, but it worked fine and ironed all the bugs out of it, and it's really nice. So looking for more ideas and see if I can do some more in the future.
Cool, cool, man. Good stuff. And anything else?
No, that's about it.
All right. What about Steve? What have you been up to, Steve? How you going, mate? Welcome back.
Yeah, I've been keeping fairly busy, just getting ready for today's show and work and everything else.
All right.
House repairs a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You had a busted pipe, didn't you? Water pipe or something broken.
Oh, yeah. Water was flowing overnight, so very wet.
All right. And Jody. Hey, Jody, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Brad. How are you?
I'm very well. Good to have you back on.
Good.
And we also got Robert Scoble. And hey, Robert Scoble.
Hey, thanks for having me on. This is a real pleasure.
No problem,
welcome,
mate.
Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thanks for having.
No, come back anytime, and you're a legend to be on the show. Jason, let's jump into some news first.
Alrighty, we'll have some news.
Yep.
Telephone and internet prices will be demystified and consumers given more powers than ever before when a tough new consumer protection code comes into effect today. The new Telecommunications Consumer Protection Code will be phased in over 2 years to give industry enough time to adjust to new demands. But from today, telcos can no longer use the words cap, unlimited, or free in advertising unless the phrases are used literally or in reference to existing plans. We are very much hoping they won't keep advertising the old plans and calling them caps, but they may need to refer to them in advertising correspondence, the ACMA said. The industry has agreed to tidy up an internal complaint handling procedures, and for the first time, ACMA can take federal court action to enforce the code with fines of up to $250,000. Chief Executive of Communications Alliance, the industry body that drafted the code, John Stanton, said the industry had moved quickly to ensure compliance by the due dates. Twitter will begin allowing advertisers to directly target users based on the interests they reveal in their tweets. No longer content to be a dumb bulletin board, with 400 million micro messages posted daily, Twitter has moved to a strategy of actively sifting through what each user is reading and tweeting in order to discern every individual's interests. Founded in 2006, Twitter is hoping to catch up to other consumer internet companies that have found varying degrees of success by using technology to serve better targeted ads. For years, Google has reaped huge profits by displaying ads based on what a user searches for in its search engine, while Facebook encourages users to proactively input their likes. But Twitter, by contrast, has long faced the challenge of indirectly inferring these preferences, something that marketers find less attractive for their needs. In an effort to draw advertisers, the company said They also slashed the minimum price of promoted tweets from 50 cents each to just 1 cent. Chief Executive Dick Costolo said in recent months that his company's value lies in its ability to mine its flow of information to build an interest graph showing its users' preference profiles, which could be used by marketers to deliver targeted, relevant ads. And as part of its new targeting feature, Twitter will now allow advertisers to send paid ads in the form of tweets to users who are interested in roughly any of the 350 topics in a list curated by Twitter itself. And US President Barack Obama talked about the most difficult decision of his term, the White House beer recipe, his work-life balance, and the influence of money in politics as he took questions from the public in an online chat on the Reddit website. But he refused to discuss medical marijuana, soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder, his failure to close the prison at Guantanamo Bay, or whether he would act on climate change in a second term. His interview in the AMA, Ask Me Anything section of the user-generated social news site was so popular, 200,000 concurrent visitors and thousands of questions, it made the site inaccessible for many users during the 30 minutes that Obama was live. The photo of him answering questions on his MacBook has become a web meme. And that's the news for today.
Good news, Jason. As always, mate, you got a views in them stories, Steve?
I kind of had one on the Twitter now. I don't think it was the same thing, but it more had to do with developers, and I think they were limiting the amount of users per third-party Twitter client apps, which is also very interesting.
Okay. What about you, Robert? You got any views in them stories, mate?
Twitter is always going to behave in its own self-interest. It has done that repeatedly, and everybody I'm talking to inside Flipboard and inside other companies are saying we're pulling back from Twitter, and we're not assuming that there's going to be a business model there in the future because of their tightness on their APIs.
Hmm. All right. Good answer. What about you, Jody?
Well, interestingly enough, I guess I'm focused more on the Obama campaign and the recent events at the Republican National Convention, where Clint Eastwood stood up and he did a presentation and he addressed an empty chair. In the empty chair, ostensibly, was Barack Obama. And it was kind of funny because he was kind of making light of having Obama there. And at one point, he even looked at the chair and he said, "Excuse me, what do you want me to tell Mitt Romney? Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I don't think that's physically possible for him to do that to himself." So, I mean, it was pretty funny. But what's interesting, and the reason why I think this campaign is going to be unlike any campaign we've seen to date, when you think about 4 years ago, John McCain had difficulty even mastering his email. And at that point, I don't think that the Republican Party, the GOP, realized the power of social media, nor did they have the expertise that the Democrats did going in. I think that the game has changed, and I think that there is a better understanding of how important it is, particularly because today the term Eastwooding and chairs, empty pictures of empty chairs, are now becoming memes all across the internet.
Wow.
So it's kind of changed the game, and I'm excited to see how social media is going to impact the campaign and the election.
Did you see Barack Obama's reply to the tweets about the invisible Obama?
The seat is taken?
Yes, the seat is taken with him on the presidential chair. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got a good sense of humor, and I think for somebody like that to get on Reddit, that's mind-blowing stuff.
Mm.
It just shows the power, and he knows his demographic. He knows who he needs to reach. And, it is a younger skewed audience, without a doubt.
Yeah, it might get them out voting for a change, whereas a lot of times they just go, "Oh, what's the point?" But if you've got somebody who comes onto Reddit and he's got a bit of a sense of humor and stuff, and unfortunately, I think from a lot of the comments I was reading, Clint Eastwood just came across as a crazy old guy talking to an empty chair for a lot of people.
Be careful what you read into the comments that are being put out there. And I think that there's a lot of disinformation. And again, think about the fact that the Democrats are the masters of social. Clint Eastwood is 82 years old. God bless him. He didn't come across as Dirty Harry, But I think he was lucid, and I think he knew what he was saying. And he came apart partisan, which is what he was opposed to do. And right. People who don't agree with his politics are going to deride him. You know, so that's not unexpected. But I don't think he came across as a Looney Tune or anything like that. I think he said what he wanted to say, and I applaud him for that.
Cool.
Make my
I think it's also quite cool, the story about telephone and internet prices in Australia, how they're not going to be able to use the words cap, unlimited, or free, which they're very, you know, freely using at the moment to say, hey, you've got an unlimited account, but it's only limited to 5 gigs, or you've got an unlimited account that's after 5 gigs, we're going to limit it, which is quite contrary to what they're actually saying. There's a lot of lying going on in those cases, so I think it's going to be really great for Australia if the words cap, unlimited, and free actually mean those things. You know, I could get a account with a $250 cap, but I can still get charged $400, $500 for if I go over the quote cap. You know, cap tends to mean something that's at the top and you won't ever pay more than that, but it never ever meant that here, and I think it's going to be great in the future. I don't know if they would ever have something like that over in the US. What do you think?
I don't know. You know, the industry here is fragmented, and there's not one company that runs the whole country, so I don't know.
Well, I can attest to the fact that AT&T, I have an unlimited AT&T account that they throttle at 3 gigs. So I hope and pray that there is some delineation and differentiation, and that, you know, if they say unlimited, it does mean unlimited, but in fact it doesn't. So I don't think we're any different right now than you guys have been. But hopefully there's some change in the future, because if it's unlimited, it should be unlimited.
I agree. Yeah.
I think us technology kind of people understand when it says unlimited that it never is, and we just handle that. But there are a lot of people who go, hey, this says it's an unlimited or capped plan. There's no way that I'll ever get charged any more than X dollars per month, and then they do anyway, because it's just not clear to them the understanding that unlimited doesn't mean unlimited, free doesn't mean free, and cap doesn't mean cap.
I've been saying totally that agree. For years, and I'm glad that at least Australia is doing it, and hopefully eventually it's going to be adopted here, because, you know, people see this and they take it for face value, but then they, you know, they don't read the small fine print in the contract, which is like 25 pages, and, you know, they don't realize that.
I have seen recently there's been a move to also try and stop the telcos from charging thousands of dollars for people who go overseas roaming, and they don't realize that there's going to be large or high charges if they're out of their area, or if they roam onto another network and things like that. So there's something else that they're looking at, and if that came through as well, I think that'd be a great idea.
All right, let's get into the chatting with Robert Scoble. Jason, you got some questions for Robert Scoble first up, mate?
Nothing that I can think of right at the moment.
Okay, all right, put you on the spot.
I was having a good time talking about the news stories.
All right, okay, Steve, you got a question for Robert first up?
What does he think about the Apple versus Samsung verdict? I would like to know that.
Go ahead. I wrote about the Apple versus Samsung verdict, you know, even since then, I've been talking to people who were on the original iPhone team, and we still think that Samsung came out pretty well in this. They get a $1 billion penalty. I don't even think they call it a penalty, but it's, you know, penalty. It might go up to $3 billion. They got hit $12 billion in the stock price, which is hard. But I think the stock price comes right back after people realize Samsung is bringing out the best products in the market. For $4 billion, which is half of a Skype's, Skype, Microsoft paid $8 billion for this. And, for half of a Skype, they get to become number two in the market. It's a pretty remarkable strategy.
Yeah, Apple still wants them to stop selling 8 of their products, but it hasn't happened yet. And the other thing that doesn't get mentioned a lot is there's many other lawsuits going on around the world. Samsung's winning the battle against Apple in Japan, so maybe they'll get their money back over there.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think there's going to be a financial wash. I don't think Apple's doing this because of the money. I think Apple's doing it because
they want to make a point.
Well, you know, that was Steve Jobs always making a point that other people are copying me, and I think that helps Apple's PR immensely too. So I don't know that there was any real loser here. Apple probably came out on top, but you know, Samsung is sure in a better place than RIM or Nokia is right now.
All right,
yeah, they can just Samsung, Apple can just go, ha ha, we won that one, and then they move on, and at least they can innovate from now. I think, you know, the Microsoft Windows phones that are coming out are a lot different to the Apple ones, and they seem to be able to innovate and keep their products differentiated enough. So maybe it's Microsoft, time for Samsung.
It took Microsoft 4 years to do that too.
Yeah.
So, you know,
maybe Samsung can take a page out of that book.
Well, yeah, I think. Yeah, Samsung has one big thing to negotiate with Apple. So don't assume that at the negotiation table that there isn't some back and forth here. Samsung could offer their future chips and their future display panels to Apple and settle this, you know, without much money changing hands.
Yeah.
All right. Jody, any questions for Robert Scoble?
Oh my gosh, I have a bunch of questions.
Go ahead, ask away.
Robert, there are so many different social medias, and you are the master. We know this.
Yes.
Where are you spending your time these days?
If I'm at home like I am right now, I have, you know, Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter and Salesforce Chatter and Quora and a few others all running at the same time. So I don't look at it like I'm spending time on any one or the other, but I do notice that most of my interactions are on Facebook. So Facebook still has all my friends and all my family. Very few of them have even joined Google Plus. And if they've joined it, they just haven't participated at a high level like they do on Facebook. Facebook is a remarkable audience, and it's a system that won't be matched by anybody else.
Interesting. So, but you're still using Quora?
Oh, yeah. Quora actually is a great place to, you know, get information about weird, geeky topics. So, usually, almost always, there's a good answer. And I find that people who are on Quora are very intelligent. There's a system on Quora that if you start behaving badly, we can all downvote you and push you off of the page. So I love a lot of what Quora is doing.
Interesting. Okay. And where do you see the evolution going? I mean, is there you know, going to be one unified platform? Do you think we're moving towards something where there's some better integration between all the different platforms?
Oh man, I don't see it at all. You know, Google continues to innovate. Microsoft just is bringing on a new phone OS, and apps made for the new one can't run on the old one. So this shows just how fast this market is changing. There's no way that platforms are going to bring a good lowest common denominator, you know, runtime system, for instance, across platforms. Then it's just not going to happen.
So. Then are you seeing the opposite happening, that it's going to become more fractionalized?
Yeah, I think so. And that's going to be tough for developers to deal with. But, you know, that's one reason they're getting increased valuations too. You know, if you're going to take $4 million to be a seed round on your company, you got to step up the game.
Hmm.
All right. Now, I've got a question from Brian. He actually sent me a message on Voxer, so I'm going to play this for you, Robert. So I'm not sure how well this will come through, but I'm going to play it anyway.
All right.
So here we go.
Since you've been on several different types of podcasts and stuff, do you have any tips on what can be done to make a podcast from scratch and on a low budget?
Yeah. You know, I assume you can buy an iPhone. If not, there's other, SoundCloud's on Android too. So I use SoundCloud on my iPhone, and I don't use anything else. It's free. And this is revolutionary. It's I totally agree with you that this is an interesting space. But you can start broadcasting off of any cell phone right now through SoundCloud.com.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It gives you – people always are commenting on my quality and ask me, what kind of microphone are you using? I said, I'm just using the iPhone. That's it. There's no special microphone. That's the act of actually getting your voice out to the public is pretty easy and been solved. The real problem is getting attention, i.e., do you come up with content that is interesting to enough people to make a business on? And that's the harder part.
All right, and we've got one from Jacob on Voxer, so I'm going to play this one for you. So here we go.
Hey, Brad, can you ask him how long has he worked for Rackspace, and when did he fund the area, or should I say the hosting?
I've only worked for them for 3 years, and I do not own very much of the company. So I wish I did. Yeah. Graham Weston made $1 billion off of Rackspace. So, but no, Graham and Pat and a group of three or four people started Rackspace, 14 years ago, something like that.
All right, good stuff. All right, Steve, any questions for Robert?
Yeah, actually, well, originally Jason took my – because I knew he was going to – ask my question, but since we're talking about Google Plus, do you think it's more for people like us in technology? Because I've been noticing that a lot. People hang out there like us, and yeah. I think for photographers as well, I think hang out Google Plus.
Yeah, well, the Hangouts are separate. Google has a suite of collaborative work apps. And Hangout could really and is, you know, being used at work to connect disconnected workers together. So separate the Hangout. It's going to be tough for Google Plus to really grab a lot of deep engagement the way Facebook has it. And I don't know that Google really cares that. That is true. Google Plus can become a much better blogging tool if they add a few more typographic controls. And I keep hearing rumors that they're working on that. It could become a full first class blogging system. And now that we have good URLs too, Google Plus is coming on strong. But it's not going to take anything away from Facebook, I don't think.
All right. I've got a question for you, Robert. What about Webmate? You went to London. How was that?
It was awesome. London was smaller than the Paris one, but it still had people from all over the world. And that's what I like about Loic's events. There's a lot of people around the world who will fly to a European event but not fly to a U.S.-based one. And so I like seeing the different audience that shows up at Le Web than, let's say, TechCrunch Disrupt that happens in a week.
All right. And you got some good questions asked to you when you were interviewed?
Oh, yeah.
What sort of questions did you get asked?
I forget.
Oh, okay. That's cool. What about iPhone apps? What sort of iPhone apps have you been using for the past month or so? You got Highlight? You love Highlight?
Yeah, I still use Highlight. Although, it has... just a few moments where it's really good. Like at South by Southwest, it's really good. I would load it up just for South by Southwest, collect a bunch of people, and maybe turn it off when you get back home. Because the problem is, here in Half Moon Bay, I think there's three people on Highlight, and it's really boring.
Okay.
And it's going to be boring until more people show up. But on the other hand, if more people show up, then there'll be more idiots, and you'll have to start worrying about blocking people and stuff like that. So
okay, all right. Also, have you checked out the new Roams app?
No, I thought I beta tested that, but I'm not sure at this point.
All right. Well, there's a new update that came out a few weeks ago, so you should check that out. It's a good update from Roams.
Okay.
So check it out. Jason, got some more questions for Robert?
Yeah, well, we know you probably already have an iPhone 5 that you can't talk about, but can you tell us any?
I wish. Apple still is very, you know, very brand oriented. So it's like the New York Times and USA Today and the Wall Street Journal get a preview unit. But I
talk to Walt.
I'm not even on the short enough list to get in the building all the time. I mean,
but can you tell us any other interesting technologies or sites you know that are in the works that you're able to talk about?
Well, there's a whole bunch of I was just at Qualcomm last night, and at their dinner, and I met a couple of developers there. One of whom is building a contextual system that competes with, I guess, Google Now. I'm watching Q on my iPhone. That's a contextual system, and that's a little company here in Silicon Valley that's iterating. It hasn't yet gotten over the hurdle where it's actually giving me really hyper useful information, but it's one I'm watching. And then I have a bunch of other, you know, standard apps.
All right. And what do you think of app.net? Do you think it's going to have a future with all the changes that Twitter is doing now?
I just don't know that there's space for another Twitter to pop up. I donated my $50, and so yeah. But I'm almost holding back just and letting that community discover what it is, which is, you know, is needed at this point because they created a little bit of hype and now they can channel that.
It seems a bit like diaspora. They seem like interesting technologies, but don't really know if there's enough space left for people to start something new.
I don't think you ever get to a good place just by copying somebody else. And right now, it looks too much like a copy of Twitter with no people on it. And so, I can't get excited by that.
All right, good answer. Now, Robert, you do a podcast called the Gilmore Gang. Is that correct?
Yep.
Tell us about that. How long has it been around for and stuff? And
that's it's been on and off for almost a decade, I guess. I met Gilmore back in 98, I guess, when we worked at a computer programming magazine together.
Cool.
And this sort of just grew out of those kinds of conversations where we would talk about technology, but. Steve also has a background in the music industry, and he has a sense of drama, and he likes prodding people in a certain way to bring out a better story, and I appreciate that.
Good stuff.
It's just a fun way to spend Friday afternoon, sort of like what we're doing right now.
Definitely. Yeah, it's very funny. Now, I asked you about a TV guide not long ago. Is that coming? Has that come out yet, that TV guide for Facebook?
Not yet. It's close. A couple of weeks, maybe.
Okay. So. Now, can you give us a quick rundown on what it does?
The official TV guide, the brand TV guide, came out with an iPad app just 2 weeks ago, and it's really, really nice. And think about that really niceness, and then add the warmth of social, where you know a little bit about what your friends are doing on this TV guide. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to play with. But it'll be interesting if that takes or not. Mm. But I think these TV guide apps are – there's something to them.
Yeah, definitely. What about GetGlue? Do you like GetGlue?
I don't have too much experience with them. Okay. So
all right. Fair enough.
I don't know.
Jody, do you want any more questions for Robert?
Yeah, Robert, I noticed that you're very transparent, and you put your phone number, your cell phone number, and your email address out there. Are you worried about trolls, and have you had any?
No, because this system is so blockable. But I don't have the kind of problem where I have to worry about a stalker the way some people in society do. And God, I don't worry about that. I worry more about getting hit by a drunk on the way home, you know, on 92. That's a lot more worrying of an outcome to me than anything social media can do to me.
I wish I had that problem.
What, being hit by a drunk?
Oh, God, no, you don't.
No.
That's
no,
not a good problem.
No, it's not.
Don't have to worry about trolls and stuff coming in the chat room and stuff.
Yeah, we don't need that.
Yeah.
We don't need
you
that.
You know, Jennifer Ruggiero has a question in the chat room, and she asks, Robert, you work with a lot of startups. What percentage of tech startups succeed, and do you have any tips?
Very, very few. I mean, I was sitting with a venture capitalist the other night, and he said, "Oh, we look through like 30,000 business plans. I.e., they probably have somebody get rid of 90% of them right away, but that's sort of the flow. And how many of those get either have found a customer base that's useful or get enough capital to make their business grow? Even fewer. I would guess it's probably 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000 companies really is successful. And, it's a tough process to start a company. It's not guaranteed.
All right. Good stuff. Tell us about your office setup. What sort of computers you have and that sort of good stuff, Robert?
Oh, I'm totally Apple hoard
Apple,
here.
Yeah.
I have the latest model iMac in front of me with 2 Thunderbolt screens, and I have a MacBook Pro and an iPad.
Oh, wow.
And an iPhone and a Palm tablet that has never been opened under my desk.
Wow.
And a printer and, and a GoPro camera here.
Good stuff. And what about iPad? How many iPads do you have?
Well, are you including everybody that I've bought for them?
Probably, in my
immediate family.
Yeah,
I have one. My 3 kids all each have one. So
okay. 4. Good stuff. And what about the next iPad? What's your prediction in the next iPad?
I spent time last night at Qualcomm, and they showed me the new Samsung. I forget the model number, but it's a new Windows 8 RT tablet style. Transformable into a laptop kind of thing. I don't know.
How about this the Surface tablet that's going to be coming out?
I like the Surface. First of all, we don't know a few things. We don't know how many cool apps they have up their sleeve for the real launch date of this thing. We don't know the price. We don't even know the availability. I mean, the Samsung one today that they showed off at IFA, they don't have a price on it. They don't have availability on it. So is it going to make it by Christmas? I don't know. Back to the iPad, the next one I hope is a suite of iPads,
because
the 7-inch size just makes a lot of sense to me. It's, the Galaxy Nexus 7 is really a nice tablet. And I'm going to the Amazon event on Thursday this week coming up.
See the new Fires.
Yeah, and so they're going to have a family of tablets and God knows what kind of capabilities they've put into them. It's going to be interesting. What do you do for to take iPad further? I think it's all about the software from now on. The you can make the device a little thinner every year, and people will go, you want the latest one, but that's not going to really drive sales. It's going to be software capabilities that are in the newer tablets.
Do you think there's much extra that they could wow us with adding into the newer tablets? I really can't think of anything else cool.
I can't. The way Microsoft will get all the developers hot and bothered is to sell a shitload of them, right? I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on this.
Yeah, you can.
To Australia, we can say anything.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot I was talking to Australia.
Actually, yeah. I got a pretty good question because I know a lot of people with Apple stuff. They're saying it doesn't have the specifications aren't good enough compared with the PC equivalent. So You know, do you think Apple's going to put more, you know, hardware, you know?
I think they have to. Otherwise, you know, if Apple devices don't keep up with the other ones on the market, and the, you know, I've used Android. It's not that much harder than iOS. So if I get and by the way, it keeps getting better. And it, I believe in the next year, it's finally going to be getting me to switch over from iOS to at least a dual phone. And I'm going to have to think about how to afford that again. But, yeah.
Mm. All right. So, Jason, we got any cool apps you want to mention this week? You got an app you want to talk about?
No, I haven't actually seen any new apps that are worthwhile downloading.
All right. Well,
I see the Facebook app got a new update, yeah, which was so fantastic. Yep. It's a lot faster and stable, and it actually has thumbnails of the correct people on it for once.
Yes, yes. I think I heard you saying, Jason, your app wasn't working very well for you, the Facebook one.
No, it is now, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Good to hear.
Yeah, they had that update this week. It seems to be quite good. I like it.
All right. Okay, well, I want to mention Roams for a minute. Roams is a discovery app you can find in your area and look for different sort of places, what's going on. Have you? What do you know about this app, Robert? You've used this one before, haven't you?
A little bit. I've found other, you know, it's tough to become a dominant local app on my phone because I'm already using Yelp and Foursquare.
Yep.
And food spotting, and to get me to add a fourth thing that I would check for dinner is really, that's pretty brutal. I'll just call a friend at that point.
Anyway, we'll check out Roams. It's a great update, and they've done a great job on it. And they're from Sydney, Australia. Check it out. Steve, you got an app you want to mention?
Of course, earlier during my show, I showed the new Facebook update, and of course, Roams, which you mentioned. I knew you were going to mention it during the show, so I figured I did a quick screencast and show it during the Tech Webcast as well. So
cool. All right, Jody, you got an app you want to talk about?
You know, I've been still playing with Cinegram.
Oh no,
Cinemagram. I know. I'm kind of stuck on that one. But what's interesting is they just integrated with Facebook. And that just happened within the last day. So I think it's an up and coming, and I'm having fun with it. So that's all that matters, right?
It is. It is. Yep.
That lets you build those new kinds of cinemagraphs that have everything still except for something moving.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can colorize it. It's kind of like an Instagram, but with a little bit of a animated GIF kind of feel to it. But the cool thing is, and it's social, but now that they're integrating with Facebook, I think it they're poised to explode. So pretty cool.
Cool.
Good stuff. What else do we ask? Robert? What about iPad apps, Robert? You've been using any cool apps, mate, you want to recommend?
Let me go get my iPad and look through it.
All right.
Well, the TV Guide is definitely one that's stuck.
Yeah.
I'm still a Flipboard guy. And then let me get my iPad and I'll be
right back. Get it, Mac. Yeah, get it. And we'll talk about iPads for a minute. And this is going to be a good conversation about iPad apps.
I love it.
Yeah, I love it. This is so cool. This guy knows about iPad apps. Go to Robert Scoble.
Yeah, you know, I've been playing less and less with getting a lot of new ones because at some point it just becomes ridiculous. You know,
does it slow it down, Robert, when you have too many on there?
It did on my phone. I'm not sure yet on the iPad because maybe the processor's bigger and I haven't hit it yet. But iPad apps tend to be one. I'm looking for specific things like collaboration tools for people at work or. Ways to open our cloud servers or the TV Guide and Show You is my favorite video app because it just brings all the videos from where I who I followed on YouTube and brings in a bunch of other videos that you follow up the people and Show You, and it builds this huge grid. And it's just my favorite way of finding new stuff.
Cool. What about the Spotify app? Do you like Spotify?
Oh, that's almost like, is the ocean wet kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, some of these, I'm almost moving over to the categories of super hits, and I sort of like focusing on the newer ones. But yeah, Spotify is a staple. TripIt is a staple. I use Trey Ratcliffe's Stuck on Earth, which is a fun way to see photo or places to take good photos at the places you're visiting.
What was that one again?
What
was the name of the one you just mentioned?
I think it was called Stuck on Earth.
Stuck on Earth. Sorry.
On Earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Trey Ratcliffe, one of the Google Plus famous photographers, had that built. And, of course, the Google. See, I spend a lot of time on the iPad. I'm usually just, you know, watching, going back and forth between Google Plus and Facebook. So I have those two apps open all the time. Twitter gets covered in Flipboard. So, and I still usually use the native apps to go and visit things. It's in the mix.
Okay. All right. What's your view on the Google Plus app for the iPad? Do you like it?
I do. It's missing things. By the way, so is the Facebook one, but, overall, I love the speed and the animation that brings new pages in as you're paging through it, and it's very visual. I know that's controversial because a lot of people wanted something that looked more like Quora and less than like TMZ or something. But I think Google's trying to get more of a visual look, and I think that's how to build something that the end user switches on and decides to use.
All right, good stuff, mate. What about Jason? You got any iPad apps you want to mention? You've been checking out, or
No, I haven't tried out anything new recently on the iPad. We did have a question in the chat room. Somebody wanted to know what percentage of tech startups that you see seem to succeed.
The problem is at this level, at like the Y Combinator level or the Techstars level, they're almost pre-picked, and the success levels are higher, particularly at Y Combinator. And then you have to decide what is success, because to a venture capitalist, success is that 10x return, and that's not going to happen very often, but maybe 1 out of 20 times.
I guess even when you think that something is going to have a huge return like Dig, it doesn't always end out to be that case in the end.
Yeah, it's. I think Dig did okay, but it didn't do as well as was expected of them. I guess part of this is expectations. You know, if our expectations are completely nuts, then coming down a little bit from those seems, you know, like really bad thing. And that's Facebook stock, right? It's still 100 times earnings, but people got so nuts about it. And I did too. And I still am nuts. Got taken. So I don't know.
Yeah, Facebook seems to have dropped to nearly half, hasn't it?
Yeah, just about half, because they just haven't. They haven't done what I thought they would do. I thought they would have a much better mobile client out earlier. Yeah. Okay, they got that out now. And I expect a good ad network. It's amazing to me that Facebook hasn't built that.
Yeah, well, there's no advertising in any of the mobile apps. And there's still features missing. A lot of people annoyed that you can't share links or share comments on the mobile apps. You have to go to the website to do that, and it's a bit frustrating there. But I guess one step at a time, maybe now that they've got the native app version of Facebook out on the devices, maybe they can move on to that now.
Yeah, I think you will start seeing them be more interesting, I guess.
It's hard to know how you can really put ads in the mobile version, because there's such a small screen with not that much in there now. If you start filling it up with ads, people are going to be flicking through trying to find the actual stories they're interested in.
Yeah, this is where people who say Zuckerberg should go are they're doing something, because he's holding back the ad, on Facebook's UI I see very, very few ads when I zoom around. And you nailed it. On mobile, there's no ads. He's explicitly holding it back for some reason. And only he could do that, which makes the product sort of nice, you know?
Cool. Yeah, it does from my point of view. I don't mind there not being ads, but
yeah, I agree.
It makes you wonder how they're going to keep it up.
I used to buy magazines for the ads. So there is a way to do advertising. Flipboard is playing around with interstitial ads, and I don't mind them if they're every 50 flips if there's a very nice looking ad there, but the kind of banner ads don't work on mobile, so it needs a new idea. And there's lots of innovation that I keep hearing about, ads that have an interactive background of some kind, or a background behind an interaction pad, for games or whatnot. I just don't know that those are all that interesting to anybody but the Coca-Colas,
Yeah, you need to have something interesting and eye-catching. I've heard people talk recently on podcasts about their Google pre-roll ads on YouTube, and some of them actually you can skip after, 5 or 10 seconds, but some of the times it's something there, it's like, this looks like it might be worth just watching for the extra 10 seconds just to see what it's all about.
Yep.
Well, I think the challenge for advertisers is to make the advertising more engaging. If it's just a plain banner ad, there's not a whole lot to it. But I don't know, did you see the new commercial for with the Old Spice guy, where he has all of the electrodes all over his chest and he's flexing his muscles and playing music?
Yeah.
And they made an app now where you can flex his muscles for him to play music. So we're taking things out of the realm of just watching or just reading to being interactive, and that the whole gamification of advertising, I think there's a whole opportunity there that still is a realm worthy of exploration. And maybe that's what Zuckerberg is waiting for, I don't know, but certainly it's something worthy to look at.
You think a bit of interactivity might be the way to go?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Make it engaging.
But it has to be done. It has to be carefully done, because if it interrupts the host app, that's going to be a bad, interactivity can do some nasty stuff too.
Yeah, if it starts off sort of passive, and then if you click on it or something like that, then you can interact with it, and then it can go back to being passive again.
Yeah.
Well, I actually used the video that Jody mentioned, because you can get it on Vimeo, and at the very end of the video, that's when you get to interact with it, obviously. It won't interrupt with the video. And I sit there and I played with it for like 5-10 minutes. And I was like, Key would actually do a sound, and, I just got hooked on it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me, Steve, but...
What are you saying?
I know, right? But the reality is, it's got to be engaging. It's got to be interesting. But I think we're going to see more of those kinds of things. I really do.
All right, Robert, I've got a couple more questions for you, mate. What's your favorite podcast, and have you ever spoken to
that's a trick question,
Mark,
by the way,
Zuckerberg?
Yours, the one I'm on.
Good answer. What
Thank
about
you? We can put that as a quote on our website now.
Yes, we can.
Robert Scoble said this is the best podcast he's ever been on.
Yes, we can. What about Mark Zuckerberg? Have you spoken to him before?
I've spent a few hours with him, but before he got hyper famous. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But this was at Davos, and I've interviewed him a couple times.
All right. And what's your favorite person you've interviewed so far?
It has to be Doug Engelbart, the guy who invented the mouse and invented a lot of the modern computing that we're using today. And he just was very interesting to talk to, and he's one that you couldn't get that interview today. Wow. He's not as quick as when we interviewed him, and that was my favorite.
Cool. All right, Jason, any more questions before we go, mate?
That's it for me. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for being on the show, Robert.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good to have you on. Appreciate it. Plug your websites, mate, and your Twitter and stuff, and that's what
it goes. I'm Scobelizer everywhere, and it's spelled S-C-O-B-L-E.
All right, good stuff. All right, Steve.
I-Z-E-R.
All right, Steve, we're going to get you, mate.
course, on justin.tv/Linux. Cool dude for the live show and also for this Tech Webcast live version. And of course, on Twitter, which is chatterbox_live.
All right. And me, Tech Webcast, and Brad Oz. Jody, where can they get you?
On Twitter, I am sunswept. You can find me at my website, webmarcom.net. And everywhere else, I'm Jody Rains.
All right. And Jason?
Warlock on Twitter, WAULOK, and bluebilby.com.
Good stuff. And next week we got QuickFlix on, the guy from QuickFlix coming on, Jason.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That'd be a nice interview. And poor Steve lost the game again.
Oh, yeah, he did. He always loses the game. Yeah, you did lose the game. You did.
I never played the game.
Yeah, you did. You lost the game about 1,000 times.
See you next week.
See you, mate. See you next week. Thanks, Robert.
Thanks.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest-running Tech News Podcast.
Well, that's it for Tech Webcast this week. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed having your mind expanded. Tune in next week for more Tech Talk with Brad, Jason, and whatever crazy guests they've managed to rope in. Don't forget to get the Tech Webcast app from iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and of course, check us out on Facebook too. Until next time, may the tech be with you. Peace!